The Lord be with you.
Amen.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money for their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake off the dust from your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So in the Gospel, we're in Gospel of Mark, there's twice that Jesus sends out the apostles like separate from him. He's already begun his public ministry, and he's actually not too far into it right now. And he has the 12 apostles have been called already, called to follow him, and he's been forming them and teaching them. And now he's sending them out on a mission and say, okay, go out and you're going to spend, and he must have given them 2 weeks or who knows, a month or however long it might have been, to go to these different towns. And he's saying, I'm giving you power to cast out demons and to heal. Now, they haven't done that before. They've watched him do it. And maybe there is some moment where he kind of had them come in and here, okay, lay your hands on at the same time I do. I don't know. I'm just making that up. Maybe he did something like that to help train them and prepare them. But now he's sending them off two by two on their own. So what was the combination? Well, it doesn't say. Maybe it was Peter and Andrew, the brothers, together, or maybe he broke them up because they would get on each other's nerves too much. Or Matthew's hooked up with James. Somebody was Judas's partner. And when it says here that the 12 drove out many demons, it doesn't say the 12, except for Judas, drove out many demons. They all did. That's already a point. That's something to think about for a good while. That even someone who is going to end up turning around and turning sideways, God's also called him, and he's actually doing God's blessing people and casting out demons and healing people through Judas. Now, things would go downhill later, which you all know about. But they all go out with this mission, like sent by, I'm on a mission from God. They go out and, sorry, I had to say that line in there. They had to go out and in order to be instruments of God's grace and his blessing. And what he's doing, he's also telling them, okay, don't take a backpack with everything you're going to need either. He's actually listing the things not to take, more than he's listing things to actually take with them. It's like he's helping them to detach themselves from controlling the situation, detach themselves for having to think through every possible contingency and be prepared for that and have the right things and know what to say. And he's saying, no. I already know what's going to happen. And I'm sending you out, and I'm going to put you in situations precisely because it's you. And not because you brought the right stuff, but because it's you, and it's going to be for that soul, and it's going to be for you as well. It's going to be something, it's a blessing for you to get to do these things. He knows Peter's temperament, and he knows that Peter's going to end up in such and such a town on a Thursday afternoon and run into so-and-so. And Peter's going to have to ask him, hey, we haven't been able to eat all day long. Give us a meal? And Peter's need for a meal becomes that other soul's opportunity to invite him into the house. And then Peter ends up preaching to the whole family and heals, and casts out demons. So this fact that they need something and are depending on others to support them is part of the whole design. It's a feature, not a bug, as we sometimes say. Now, the Gospels are, whenever we see the apostles doing things or the disciples or other followers, we should be inserting ourselves into there and try to think through, well, what kind of circumstances do I come into where similar things are kind of happening? Well, God is always wanting to do something with you and through you, through your needs and lack of what you really need to have, and also with the gifts that he's given you to share with others. This happens on a micro scale. This happens on a macro scale. This happens in the course of an afternoon. It happens in the course of long relationships, in the course of a lifetime as well. God wants to be in there. He knows what you're like and your personality quirks. And he knows that maybe not as bad as Judas, but sure, you're going to have your big downs as well. But he's still calling and still inviting you because he still knows, I need you to show up at this place to do this good thing for someone. An act of kindness, a word of encouragement, to strengthen somebody in a time of great need, to challenge somebody when in a moment. There's all kinds of different missions that he gives us on any given day. I wanted to share with you one story that comes from really literally outside here on the streets, right outside here of Old St. Pat's. Some of you might know that several times a year we have a group of missionaries they're just lay people, regular people like yourselves, who do mission work right on the streets, right around here, well, St. Pat's. They'll do it during the San Gennaro Festival coming up next month, or in September. They do it during Advent, during Lent. And basically what they're doing is they're out on the streets to invite people to come into the church physically and pray. And there's several of us priests in setting up some confession stations. And we're there to kind of catch them, and the missionaries are trying to coax them into being reconciled with God for who knows how long it's been. But they're out there with anybody. And so they've got a kind of a whole system designed for this. But at the end of the day, who knows who's going to be walking down the street going to get milk, and they're going to have an encounter with them. Some of you have run into them and talked to them before, I'm sure, especially if you live here in the neighborhood. But on the one day, the leader of this group was just relating this story two nights ago. I was there with him at dinner, and he was telling some of our friends this story that he was out there and just kind of like, Holy Spirit, whoever you're sending me to, I don't know if I'm ready or not, but you just give me the right words to say. And so this one gentleman is coming along, and he's walking at a pretty good clip, and our friend stops him and says, hey, would you like to come into the church? And the guy says, nope, not interested. All that mass stuff is all fake. Been there, done that. And he's gone off and he continues walking. So our friend says, okay, challenge accepted. And he hits the gas and goes up and starts walking next to him and saying, So what do you mean it's all fake? Oh no, we know this. It was all made up in the Middle Ages, and it's not real. All that mass stuff. We know where it comes from. It's just been invented later. And I do my own thing. I got my own relationship with God. And so then our friend asks him and says, so how's that working out for you? If you're just kind of doing your own DIY religion, how's that working out? And he says, well, not very well, which is usually the case. And by this time, he's starting to slow down a little bit. He's not walking quite as fast. But he's trying to say, no, hey, I'm busy. I've got stuff to do. He really didn't want to talk, but our friend is insistent because, I don't know, maybe he sensed something that there's an opening coming. And he asked him, so what else have you been doing while you're here in the city? Because he was visiting from Canada. And he said, no, I'm just here to take care of some family stuff. What else have you done here in the city while you're visiting? And he said, well, I went to the Met Museum and I was looking at some paintings, but yeah, that's about it. Well, our friend gives tours of the Met Museum to give spiritual interpretations of all the religious art that's in there, which is a ton. Now, he didn't do that so that he could be a better missionary here on the streets. He just did that because that's a passion that he has. And he says, well, what did you see? Was there anything that jumped out at you, a particular painting? And he said, well, I did see one. It was back in kind of a corner, this one room way in the back, and it was this, there's this man sitting at a table, and he's holding a loaf of bread like this, and there's one over here that's looking at you, the observer, and then another one that's back turned. And immediately, our friend knew exactly what painting he was talking about. Because a couple days earlier, our friend had spent 2 hours sitting in front of that painting in order to pray about it, because it was a painting of the apostles on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection, and Jesus is there about ready to break bread, and the apostles are about to discover it's Jesus. Now, this gentleman had no idea what it was about. And he stopped, and our friend said, "Hey, you know what? This might sound like this is just crazy, but you wouldn't believe this. Just a couple days ago, I spent 2 hours in front of that painting, and I can explain it to you." Because he didn't understand it, didn't know what it was about. And he took it one step further. "Don't you think it's just kind of crazy? Could it be that God's speaking to you? That in the entire city of Manhattan, that the very person that talked to you right now, just as if you told him that you thought the mass was made up and it was all fake and all that, is about to explain you exactly where the mass comes from based on this one painting that you couldn't figure out in the Met Museum." And now by this time, this gentleman has stopped walking and he got a real serious face. And he said, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I'm here in New York to get my family affairs put together because I'm dying. I have cancer, and I don't have long to live." And this man begins to weep and cry. Steve, or our friend, that's his name, Steve, then encouraged him, "You know, I think really this is God reaching out to you. I think this is God inviting you back." And so he was able to walk this gentleman down here, come into the church, and go to confession, probably for the first time in I don't know how many years, and be ready to meet our Lord face to face. Our friend Steve didn't set out on the streets with a book of paintings and a money bag and belt and food or a sack or an extra tunic, because God knows exactly who he's going to put us in front of. Sometimes it becomes unbelievably obvious that this is God's setup. Other times, not so much. Or we don't see it or figure it out till later. But I guarantee you, everyone that God puts in front of you in our lives, your family members, your friends, your acquaintances, your companions at work, he has you there, yes, for a mission, to be somebody for them, to give something to them of yourself, of God's love, of God's grace. You'll be prepared for that if you go out with that sense of, "I'm not just here, it's not just all about me. I need to show up for God too. I'm one of the 12 that he's sending out on this mission, even if it's just to go out and buy a half gallon of milk, even if it's on the way to Mass, and even especially if it's I'm here doing something, some work for the church, or some good deed for a friend." So our Lord wants us to be detached from having it all figured out, all prepared, everything. No, he's got it covered. Just pray well and be ready to serve the Lord, and he'll take care of the rest.